All right, I'm going to go ahead and start since we know you're here. There you are. All right.
I can see me on the on my screen.
You're back.
All right, it is 5 o'clock on August 4th, 2020, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. We're meeting via BlueJeans on a conference call per the governor's executive order. Item number 2, roll call. Cameron Gogich.
Here.
Don Carlton.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Thank you. For the record, all directors are present. Item number 3, approval of the meeting minutes of July 7th, 2020. Any corrections or comments on those meeting minutes?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the minutes of the July 7th, 2020 business meeting.
I second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of July 7th, 2020. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes as it was unanimous. Item 4, the financial report. 4A, accounts payable for July 7th, July 15th, and July 31st of 2020. Any questions on the payable? Tom?
I just had a couple, but I emailed them to Rochelle and she answered them yesterday, so I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Tom, go ahead.
I just have a few. On July 7th, a couple of entries for Harrington Industrial Plastics. What were those for?
Okay, I'll go ahead and respond to that. Harrington Industrial Plastics were some PVC components and fittings that were used for the Broughton Road water main replacement project. We did a fair amount of that project in-house, and some of those parts came from there.
Okay, thank you. There was a $45,000 entry also on the 7th for McClure and Sons Incorporated. Who are they? Probably already owned me, but I forgot.
No, that is the contractor for the wastewater treatment plant expansion disc filter.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
On the 15th, DMS Technology.
Is that Ben Mailing Services?
It is. It's Ben Mailing. They do all of our statements.
Michelle, turn your volume down just a tad bit.
How?
Okay, and one other thing. H.D. Fowler Company on the 31st.
How much was it?
$1,789.52.
I'll defer to Rochelle again.
We purchased a step system panel.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Step system panel. It's like an electrical panel with lights and alarms and stuff on it.
So that was service or to replace parts?
Yeah. It's a complete panel that we're replacing.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Cameron, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Tom, the best thing, you know what helped me is when I call Rochelle, like today, I called her today, and it helps to go through those bills and explain, and then she can do a better detail about things. So that might help you. She's really pretty handy about all that stuff. She knows what I'm going to ask her, so give her a call. Prior to that question,
my purpose in asking some of these is to have it on the record so that it shows we're all doing due diligence toward what we spend. And it would be helpful on this accounts payable monthly report to have another column in there for what it was. I know that might be a little more time spent by admin, but as directors, I just think it's a good policy to, when I don't recognize something specifically, to put it on the record, that inquiry.
Well, usually what I do, when I do talk to Rochelle, she gives me a little bit more history about it, and I call her about some of the same things about it. So where I've got the documentation on my end, where, because I go through and highlight stuff, it just might help you. But if you want to get it on record, I can understand that.
Tom, I see your point about due diligence, and if there is a way we can put down a comment, we will look into that for you.
Okay, thank you. I think that would be helpful for the directors. Anyway, I know several of you have been here a long time, and so this may seem redundant and kind of silly to some, but for a new fella, I don't ask. I recognize some of the same things over and over again. Usually the ones that I don't recognize that I bring up or has been brought up before and I forgot. And so, you know, those are senior moments that I take responsibility for that.
See what we can do for customizing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Any other questions on the payable? I'll entertain a motion.
Not hearing any, so I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for July 7th, July 15th, and July 31st of 2020.
I'll second that.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for July 7th, July 15th, and July 31st of 2020. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
No one opposed? Unanimous approval. Item 4B, fiscal year report 1920. Any questions or concerns? And if you would identify the page that you're on, that would be helpful, I think, for all of us, the page of the report. No questions.
No questions.
All right. Thank you. Item 4C, fiscal year report for 2021. Any questions there for the authority manager?
I'd like to just say that I haven't had a chance to really look at 2021, so I might have some other questions next month.
All right. Thank you, Tom. All right, moving on, item 5, manager's report. Kirk?
Okay. I'd like to start off with the COVID-19 impacts. And to summarize everything, there's really been no change over the last month, which is good news for us. We've had healthy employees. We've not experienced problems for the most part. And at this point, though, given the current status of COVID-19 spread throughout the country, I don't really see any reason to consider reopening for public office visits here. Michelle?
I just have one comment. I just want the words, and Kurt, you too, and I meant to mention this. Rochelle got some phone calls last week about how we provide a notary service, and since our office isn't open, I made some appointments on Saturday and went and saw some customers to do some special notary work for them. So we are making appointments with clients as best we can.
And I guess I would like to add that I don't have an objection to us scheduling certain activities like that. I just want to run it by the board to make sure that there's no concerns from the board's perspective.
The only thing I had was, like you say, it was Saturday. Is that considered overtime or just part of your regular job?
That's part of my regular job. It was not overtime.
Thank you.
Good job, Michelle.
Well, and Michelle, you did those off-site, didn't you? I mean, you didn't do that at the office?
Right. I did do them off-site. I did them in parking lots. We were all wearing masks. It was extremely 6 feet apart. Paperwork was laid out. But these were customers that I'm familiar with, that I didn't feel threatened at all. They were very protected, and it was outside, so.
That's great. All precautions taken.
Yeah, on their part and my part. So it was.
Okay, so.
Well, I'm sorry,
clarification. I might add that our intent is to use good judgment whenever the need, the rare occasion where the need develops that we need to provide service for our customers. Okay. And if there's no other questions regarding COVID, that was really where we stand. We're chugging away as we have. We've not had any staffing issues. Hearing no questions. Broughton Road water main replacement was completed last week. It was placed in service. The water to the new water main was placed in service on July 30th. As the board probably recalls, we utilized Bullseye Directional Boring Company to install the 2-inch water main, and we did the remainder of the project. It took us a little longer to complete service installations than we would have hoped, but overall the project was a success, and the price was certainly very efficient. So I'd like to consider that a successful completion. In the future, I anticipate our water main replacements will be in locations where it would benefit us to probably upsize the size of the main, but I'll definitely can take that into consideration when considering future water main replacement projects.
Did you get any comment on those six customers yet, or have they noticed any change, more pressure?
I don't think they'll notice a change at all. What they will notice is there'll be fewer disruptions in the future. They had, if I recall correctly, we had 5 water main breaks on that main just last year alone. I don't anticipate any problems, at least on the pipe that we've replaced. Of course, there can be problems elsewhere, and we'll always take into consideration the need for another replacement when it comes up. Fortunately, in our in our service area, we haven't seen a lot of areas where there's an awful lot of water main breaks, so we're in good condition in that regard.
Knock on wood.
But some of our infrastructure is starting to get older, and so later on you'll see in our strategic plan, I've sort of planned out a process so that we can replace some water mains prior to experiencing problems and perhaps having them all come up at one time. I'd also like to point out that we were able to coordinate with Coastway Construction utilizing SC Paving out of Tillamook to complete roadway patches for this year. So we've accumulated the need for roadway patches over the last 8 or 9 months, and we're pretty caught up now and complete. There may have been just a couple minor projects that weren't included in this, but I'm glad to get those done during the summer months. And then I'd also like to identify Terry Rand, our operator one. He completed his backflow training for a backflow tester certification. So we'll have him out doing some of our backflow testing in-house here in the near future.
Now, how many of those positions for backflow? You just have
please
just the
tell
one?
Him. Congratulations from all of us.
I will do that, and to answer your question, Cameron, all of our operators, we would like to have certified so they can do it, but we currently only have 2.
About 2? Okay.
Yes, 3.
relationship.
And if there's no questions regarding the written manager's report, I'd like to go over some of the graphed items. By graphed items, I mean the charts that I've included.
Yep.
Starting with water produced, and let's remind the board, that's water that's produced from the Horn Creek Water Treatment Plant, primarily in the summer months. But also supplemented from our wells. And we saw a significant increase in our water production from June, but we're still well below the previous year's consumption. That's not necessarily a bad thing, though, because it changes when you look at what we've built this year, for, this July. Our wastewater influent flows were down a bit from last year, but they were almost identical to what they were in 2018. So things appear to be completely back to normal as far as wastewater flows go. On the second page, we actually look at our build water. We actually build more water this year than we did the last 2 years. So our build usage was fairly high. And since our supplied water wasn't higher than it was a year ago, I have to say most of that difference is the difference that we saw in unaccounted for water this month. So I also attribute some of this outdoor watering, this higher build water usage is outdoor watering, because we didn't see that big of an increase in our wastewater flows. And then looking at the revenue for Bill Sewer, it looks like we're, again, getting back to normal, not quite where we were a year ago. And on the next page, the non-water revenue came in at 9% water loss this month. So much lower than it was a year ago, which is why we saw the dramatic change from a year ago in the amount of water produced. And finally, the last thing I would add is you could see that the maintenance rag removal projects were almost identical as they were a year ago, both in June and July. I'm happy to answer any questions that there might be.
How much time does it take, you figure, as manpower to do the rags?
We had a total of 6.4 hours this month to remove 14 rags. And I can't say enough for this practice, because this is one of the reasons we don't have sanitary sewer overflows. This type of preventive maintenance that's taken place over the years has made our lift station operations very reliable. And so we'll continue with that practice and check our lift stations weekly to make sure that there's not an accumulation of rags or debris. Any other questions?
All right then, let's move on to unfinished business. Item number 6 is wastewater treatment plant disc filter installation.
And I would just like to add that the disc filter installation was completed. The new disc filter was placed in service last week, and it's been running exceptional. Again, it's going to increase our capacity if need be, and it will also improve the effluent quality if need be. So it's great insurance to have an additional disc filter in place. Any questions?
All right, thank you. Moving on to item 7, new business. The Operational Strategic Plan 2021. This was a plan that the board put together at least a year ago, if not 2 years ago. We worked on our mission statement. We put together a working document. We adopted the operational strategic plan. Kirk took a look at it and updated it for us going out in this next fiscal year. Kirk, you want to talk about that?
Sure. And I realize this is a very wordy or lengthy document, so I'll try to summarize it, and then I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have. Starting with the mission, no changes were made. We have a mission that essentially identifies how we value and consider our responsibility to provide safe and reliable drinking water and sewer services to our customers in an efficient manner. So all of the new goals that were established, as well as the existing three goals that were developed last year, they're all geared towards meeting that goal. So last year, goal number one was succession planning and transfer of institutional knowledge. I personally think the board has done an outstanding job of preparing for succession, and I think that's going to benefit continuously, and it's something that I think the board's going to want to continue to practice as is proposed in the strategic plan. Tactical plan one, the assistant manager job description was developed, so that task has been completed. Although at one point I think there was anticipation that the assistant manager would have been hired by now, that didn't pan out the way that was planned on, and I currently anticipate attempting to fill that position in early 2021 if the board agrees at that point. And then the authority manager was clearly hired, and I like to say outstanding job to So two out of those three things were done prior to me even coming here, I believe.
You're the man.
Goal number two, the evaluation process for the authority manager was also completed. And having been the recipient of my first evaluation, I have to say it seemed very fair and appropriate and useful. In providing me some direction as to what the board expects from me and also from the authority as a whole and achieve. So that was done. And goal three is more of a working document, and I think I still have some work that I want to do in that area. The tactical plan to develop a community outreach plan has already started and it's ongoing, and I actually have some information that Carolyn had provided me with some actions for a community engagement and communication plan. Much has been done. The website was included in that. The new website was completed earlier this year. Annual events, it's been affected by tours, so we may want to relook at that in the future. Every month outreach information to community through the Sun and also through other reports, that's been done. The monthly billing message has been done. I apologize, this wasn't in your packet, so I'm almost done here. Let's see, and then there were two other items that are still remaining that we'll want to come back to, and that's an advisory committee meeting twice a year. COVID, I think, has sort of changed the way we look at that. In public meetings, encouraged for capital projects and rate increases. Something else that I think we're going to want to consider later on. So that is all the way up through goal number three, the community outreach plan. And then I pretty much summarized everything already. So if the board has any questions for me regarding what was done previously, I'm happy to hear your comments.
On the
Any questions?
That would be great.
Tom?
As I was reading through some of this, I noticed that didn't mention it in your overview here on the outreach plan, but when we hire an assistant manager or authority manager, are you thinking that a lot of that work would be done by that person instead of yourself, or a combination of both?
Are you referring to the work in the community engagement plan specifically, Tom?
Yes. Yes.
It was defined that way in the tactical plan that was developed last year. I could see that working very well, but it's also something that I think we would work together on. So it's not something that I would delegate, but it certainly would be used to help with our community engagement. As far as other things, I really think probably the most critical component for filling that position would be to plan for just having someone that's trained over the years that could step up and manage the authority at some point if I'm not available. But with that said, there's still a learning curve in this position, and I anticipate at least another, realistically, 6 months before I have a real good understanding of what I would like to share with someone else. So I'm not sure hiring an assistant manager today would make absolute sense, unless we needed someone to back us up in operations as far as staffing goes, and we're in good shape in that regard. So I think this gives me an opportunity to learn the position a little more before we start bringing someone else in to learn the position over the long run.
Thank you.
That's sort of why I scheduled that activity to happen in early 2021.
Kirk, I have 2 points. One is, I'm wondering, could we add under goal 2 our upcoming workshop with Ryan Fleming that has to do with the authority manager review? And then maybe in some way, shape, or form, and I'll rely on you to guide us on this, that as items in the strategic plan get completed, that we drop them off and put them in a historical document so that somebody could look back and see the work that's been done in a way that somebody could come in and read very easily what we've been doing over the last 5 years in a very general way. That'd keep this document a little bit shorter and it'd give us a place to go to look for history, or as new board members come on, to see what's been happening.
I think those are both great ideas, and I could see that as a good opportunity to work with you and sort of develop that further. But I do really like the idea of eliminating some of the goals that have been completed. Because, otherwise this document is going to get even lengthier, and next year's review will be even longer. So with that said, that brings us up to where I started adding some additional goals. And I'll start with the first goal that I've added was a sewer maintenance program. And one of the thing about sewer is if it's left, if you don't provide the adequate sewer maintenance that's needed, it can cause problems. So with the construction of the wastewater treatment plant, we've sort of put on the back burner some of our sewer maintenance responsibilities, and which is not uncommon. Sewer systems typically have to be cleaned about once every 10 years. And so for us to put it on hold for a couple of years was no problem, but it's time for us to get back on track with that. So we need to go through our system over the next 10 years, have all of our sewers cleaned and inspected over that time. Once we do all of that, we can evaluate which of our sewer mains need to be replaced or repaired. One positive thing about the sewer side of things, a lot of times life can be extended by lining the sewer pipes rather than replacing them. So there's more affordable ways to extend those lives today than we had years ago.
If you replace those, how would you do that? Would you just bypass section of line, let's say a block or two, while you inspected it and lined it? Use some kind of a bypass system?
There's large sewer systems across the country that have to bypass sewers all the time and replace it because it's failed, and they've gotten in situations where they're having to do an awful lot of that, and it's quite a bit of money and quite a lot of work, and it can often lead to sanitary sewer overflows. So I don't see us as being anywhere near that condition yet, but we do need to get in and evaluate the condition of our pipes. I touched on it a little bit earlier, but our lift station maintenance, now that's one area that we've been still very effective over the last few years. So we'll just continue to do that. But step system maintenance is something that I anticipate will be a significant challenge for us in the upcoming years. And so we want to enhance our step system maintenance because I did have one error in my report that I want to correct as well. I said there were close to 200 step systems in our system, where I think it's going to be closer to about 150. So we're still compiling some of that information, and I'll fine tune this report as I get better data.
Is there any way to get around the step systems of changing them into a better? I mean,
it would be nice if we could. There's possible ways to do it, but I don't think there's any practical ways to switch it over right now. I saw in the 2004 master plan, Parametrics actually proposed replacing some step systems with gravity sewer, but the depth of those sewers would be so deep, we'd be down well below natural groundwater accumulated areas, and it would be a nightmare project, I'm afraid. But it's one of the things that we hope to discover more, or we'll come up with some ideas as I work with the engineers on our 2020 master plan. Any more questions on sewer maintenance?
Did you have a question?
Okay.
I just was going to make the comment that Ed Kirk did make the comment about the fact that was in the existing master plan to replace the step systems. But you were going there already, so I didn't need to say anything more. So.
Yeah. I look forward to revisiting that idea, but I don't think it's going to be practical. But I'm not going to rule it out at this point. So short of that, we're still going to have to establish a strategy to stay ahead of system failures. So at some point, we will have to either replace those step systems or replace them with the gravity sewer and the lift station, most likely. So I'll keep the board posted as we progress on the master plan there. The next goal that I established was a sewer infrastructure program. I sort of touched on that already. As infrastructure fails, it's either going to have to be replaced in the matter of pipeline replacement. We may also be able to line those sewers. And you can do that for a lot less than you can replace them.
Those that we discovered are need to be lined or replaced, I would make a suggestion to the board we only have a very small amount of the asbestos concrete, but if we're going to go to the expense of inspecting them, and if there are defects, I would suggest that we replace those instead of just lining them.
Oh, Tom, those are the water mains that you're referring to, I believe.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, so asbestos cement wasn't used as a sewer pipe particularly, and so, yeah, but we'll certainly take that into consideration on the water infrastructure replacement plan.
Would you do the same kind of inspections, or would they be different?
They're actually different. On the water side, you base it a little more on number of failures and type of pipe, like you described, the material, and the environment that it's in. On sewer, you actually have the advantage of being able to clean it with a sewer jet rotting truck and run cameras inside of it. You can completely assess the condition of the sewer pipe that way.
Clean.
And based on the few the sewers that I've seen, particularly when we installed the sewer flow monitors, our sewers seem to appear, they appear to be in really good condition.
That's good news.
Yeah, I say that cautiously. There may be areas where they're not in such good condition, but so far they're looking pretty good. So that leads into the water maintenance program. On the water side of things, there's certain maintenance that's needed on our pump stations, plants, our water storage reservoirs. I anticipate scheduled in the tactical plan to go ahead and clean and inspect all three of our water reservoirs prior to the end of the year. That's the type of work that we anticipate doing in the near future on the water side. And as a result of some of our findings, we'll also need to replace water infrastructure. That includes water tanks. It can include water treatment plant components. It can include re-drilling wells. Those are the things that we want to schedule prior to failure, if possible. Cameron?
Yeah, bridges. Who is in charge of the lines as far as, is that the highway department, or we're in charge of our lines that run over the three bridges that we have?
I believe that's Tillamook Public Works. I can't say I know that for sure, but I believe that to be the case, and because I know we can't touch their bridge without their permission.
So what about it as far as inspections of our lines and stuff?
Now, our pipelines that are suspended from those bridges are completely our responsibility. So,
okay.
So we will be inspecting them as well.
Okay.
And I don't think they would do that for us. So, I'll be working on a plan for that. I may have left some things out, but infrastructure also that might be need replaced would be water tanks. We have two concrete water tanks that pre-stressed concrete tanks that have a definite life, but they seem to be in fairly good condition. We'll know more when we inspect those tanks here in the near future. And then I think I'm up to the last goal number 8 that was established was the billing and financial software upgrade. As I mentioned the goal definition was that we currently have 2 employees that are very familiar with our software, and I think now is the time for us to complete that task. I don't think it's going to be an expensive project. We anticipate the cost to be somewhere around $40,000, and if it becomes larger than that, then I'll be coming back to the board with some proposals. We We'd like to get started on that by this year, and we hope to have evaluated all of our alternatives by late this fall, and at the latest. And if all goes well, we might be able to beat this project schedule that was included. Michelle, did you have anything you'd like to add on that? You could probably express the, having worked with the software as long as you have, you could express perhaps some of the needs for new software.
Well, there are definite needs for the new software, but one is helping customers and streamlining the software. At this point in time, with my potential retirement and Rochelle coming on board and her so well trained, it is going to be a difficult task to get quotes from all the vendors and to determine which one's best with my timing is the key. If I'm there, we implement it. If we go to a different company or if we stay with the same company, it's all a training curve. Everything's going to be a learning curve. Rochelle's very capable. She's very knowledgeable about software. She's very quick study. Not worried about that. I am. My biggest concern is changing things for the customer. Nobody likes change. The only reason to stay with Springboard, if they are a reasonable offer in a reasonable company, is that it's so well known for us and that the transition would be so smooth. But we have to look at other companies as well. So it will be a transition.
Michelle?
No, yeah,
how fast is, I mean, with all the technology, how quick does things change?
Honestly, that is actually the key right now. We have a hard computer system with a hard software system for Springbrook that's been in place since 2006, I believe. And with the new softwares that are coming out today, and all of the companies are going to the cloud, every time they update their software, we get the latest and greatest things. We've been paying Springbrook a service fee every year for updates, which we have probably the oldest system that they have. We are still working with one of their oldest systems, and we're still paying $5,000 to $6,000 a year for things and upgrades that we can't possibly get because they're not upgrading them anymore. They're already to the cloud. They're already so far advanced from us.
Such a far obsolete.
It's so far obsolete. But not saying that we aren't getting something from them. If something does go wrong, they're right there. Springbrook got sold a few years ago, to a company called Excella. And that became a disaster. And Excella has let Springbrook buy themselves back. So it's back to a Portland company, which is why we went there in the first place, way before my time. But there are some good things about looking at it again and upgrading to them. But there are also some good things about other software companies. But I don't want to see customers have to redo their billing, their automatic payments. It's going to be a challenge. It was a challenge back then, and it would be double, triple the challenge today. So I think we look at the pricing and look what they can offer before we even go any further.
How much money are you looking?
$25,000, $30,000 to $40,000.
Is that probably what the average of?
Yeah.
So in doing that, how then our updates would be more compatible or cheaper? How often would we have to reload? A software.
When you go to the cloud, you pay an annual fee, and those upgrades could come every month or every week or every time. It's just like going to, with Microsoft or any other software that says, oh, we found a glitch, we're going to update you right now.
That's a cost passed on to us?
Oh, sure, but more minimally, because it's not hardwired. It's a software that they write for all their cloud clients, and I believe that does make it easier on each individual client, because when you have hard programmed software that they have to upload to your server and test, I think it's more expensive.
So basically,
I think it's just going that route, period.
So basically, our system is antiquated.
No, not yet. No, we could live with it for another 5 years. But it's slow and it's cumbersome. Sean?
Go ahead, Sean.
So we're talking about the possibility of moving all of our accounting software to the cloud. Is that what I'm understanding?
It would be one of the quotes. We don't have to, but it would be one of the quotes.
And so if the internet goes down, you don't have access.
That is true, but if the internet goes down, I don't have access to payments right now as it is. If the internet goes down, I don't have access, the customers don't have access to the website to make payments.
Right, but do you have access to all your accounting and all that kind of stuff right now if the internet goes down?
Yes, I do. Yes, so I see your point.
Yeah, here's the gist of my point is, I mean, cloud stuff has a huge weakness.
Yes, I agree.
When shit goes down, everything fails. So here's reservations about cloud-based stuff, especially for accounting and finance.
So we could look at their software that is land-based, not cloud-based. We could look at both. We could do several options, but I do believe that we only probably have 5 more years before everybody is cloud-based. But in the meantime, I will look at all the land-based and cloud-based options there are.
Yeah, I'm just expressing reservation. I know that's the way.
No, I have them too. It makes my heart palpitate.
Me too.
I would like to add too that if we do look at a cloud-based system, we'll want to have some type of backup, local access, and so we may be able to get best of both worlds.
True, and since Global backs up our system every single night, it's not like we're gonna lose anything. So we already have a backup every night. So we're not gonna lose anything. We just can't operate for a few hours. So but I like the land-based operating system as well as cloud. But I don't think we'll have a choice 10 years from now.
I think you're right. Sadly.
Yeah, sadly. True.
One of the things I'd like to point out about Springbrook is it actually combines our financial software with our billing software. A lot of smaller water and sewer utilities have separate software packages for both, and they're not interconnected. That's a tremendous disadvantage. So we're happy with Springbrook, but the time has come for us to upgrade it.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far. We've had lots of Springbrook was meant for a large city intentionally, and we're a small company, so they have some over things that, oops, that didn't work. But from all the things I've seen so far, I haven't found anything 100% better.
And I defer to Michelle on that final conclusion. She's worked with it a lot more than me.
17 years now.
And counting.
Hello? Who said that?
I did.
Interesting.
I come out of camera, Michelle.
And counting.
Okay. I can get it back on track real quick, and I did overlook one of our infrastructure typically has about a 20-year life cycle, and I'll be talking about that here shortly. So I'm happy to answer any other questions that anyone might have regarding the operational strategic plan.
Don?
Can you bump up your volume?
Me?
Sean. No.
Y'all hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. Well, I just want to say real quick, you know, Kirk, I think this strategic plan is fantastic. I think you did a great job, especially in the things that you've added. I have a lot of thoughts and comments, and I'd like to do some more thought and reading on this. So I think it'd be better addressed by sending you an email with all of my thoughts and comments.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate any help that anyone wants to offer.
All right, let's move on to new business, the automated meter reading alternative. Kurt?
Okay. We're not at a point where we're prepared to make a decision on automated meter reading software or equipment at this point. But I did want to expose the board to some of the advantages to automated meter reading software, and primarily the cost savings per month for us is roughly $920 a month. That's just in operational labor cost savings. There's other savings that at this point I can't place a value on. Of course, the meter companies claim that they provide higher reading accuracy, thus increasing revenue as a result of less water loss, particularly at low flows. It also can be used, though. This is a very big conservation and water management tool to reduce non-revenue water, which you've heard me talk about in my manager's report. It can be used to give us daily information as to what our customers are doing as far as water usage. So if they have a water leak in their home, we can have a report that's going to tell us about it when we come in the morning. And we can call them up and say, hey, it looks like you have a stuck toilet. It's a lot of information, and it is a fair amount of work to do all of that, but it's a customer service benefit that I think is well worth the effort and cost.
The long haul of that then.
Yeah, and I think the board can read the rest of my other items that I described, but speaking of the long haul, I'm sort of looking at water meters as if it's a 20-year, I'll come right back to you, Tom. It's a 20-year life cycle replacement item for both water meters and for AMR, AMI, radios, and so over that life cycle, I think the costs are almost, they're going to be very close to what the cost would be for us to continue to replace meters as they fail. The disadvantage to not converting to AMR at this point is that we're not going to reap any of those benefits, and over 20 years, we're going to end up spending as much time in labor hours and manual reading, but it's not going to cost us more to do that, but we're not going to experience many of the customer service benefits that we can get by converting to an AMR system. Sorry, Tom, I wanted to get that out.
I know we're just starting this discussion. I think there's a great value in the automated reading system for both water and sewer. However, I'm wondering if, and I understand it'd be some kind of a wireless or a radio of some sort system. My big question was whether or not existing meters can be converted with the technology to transmit that data. Or would we have to replace both meters and a telemetry system?
That's a good question, and I've looked into it. We would have to replace nearly all of our meters with the same manufacturer as what we were currently using, but their new meters have the capability of communicating to a radio. And so the meters that we have in the ground, 1,400 meters, are not capable of communicating by radio. So they would have to be replaced.
The technology involved would take power to each of those meters in some form or another. Is there the possibility that solar power or other power source besides our basic electricity that we would get from a local telephone pole, or whether there's battery backups for power outages, that sort of thing? What's the technology like for that?
No, these AMR systems are almost exclusively battery powered. So they come with batteries that are guaranteed for 10 years and prorated for the remaining 10 years. Even the manufacturers anticipate those batteries to start failing at about 20 years. And in my past experience, that's what I've seen. So I'm not going to be overly optimistic. When I evaluate the costs associated with this, I'm going to make sure that we're using a practical number of life for life expectancy, and I believe that's going to be about 20 years. With that said, there are some power meter companies that actually utilize AC power to automate their meter reading systems, and some of those larger cities actually incorporate their water meter reading with that same power source. But in our situation, the only option at this point is for battery type systems.
The only other question I had, this is for Carolyn and Ann, because y'all have been around a little longer than anybody else, but it seems to me like at my house, the meters were changed like 15 years ago. Does that sound about right?
That's a good question, Tom, and I did look up as far as I could go back in the electronic mode on our business meeting minutes, and in 2009 at the May meeting, Tony reported that he was almost completed with his evaluation of ARM water meters and was looking at doing a MEM at that point, but he wasn't ready to make a proposal and did not want to do it until after the Horn Creek bid had been open. And then once the Horn Creek bids had been open, we got into all kinds of things and did not pursue that after 2009. Then in 2016, we were still replacing the current meters. There were about 85 more to replace, and this is from the June 2016 board meeting minutes. And we were doing that because the water conservation plan that had to be filed as part of Horn Creek with Oregon Water Resources Division, it was required that all the water meters had to be replaced due to inaccuracies. And that at that point, there were 600 to 700 meters that needed to be replaced, and 85 more were left to do in 2016. Michelle?
It had to do with lead content. The drinking water program had changed the lead content of how much was allowed in a water meter. Also, if I remember correctly, Tony Browns, an employee, was a big help in this. There were hundreds of meters that had to be changed out. Not 85, but there were hundreds that were changed out.
Yes, 85 left to do as of June 2016 for a total of 600 to 700. I remember the lead was an issue, and I didn't find that in the meeting minutes, so.
Lead was an issue.
If that gives you the history. Hang on, Cameron. Tom, did that answer your question in terms of the history?
So 2009 is when we started replacing those meters?
No, 2009 was when Tony was talking about evaluating ARMs and going to an ARM system. And we ended up not going that direction because Horn Creek took up more time than we had imagined at that point. So then rather than going to ARM, what we did was to replace the ones required by the Water Resources Division as part of the conservation plan for Horn Creek.
Right.
So when what year did those replacements happen? Was it 2010 then, or?
It took.
I don't remember when they started, but
we do have records. It took a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, my point here is that over it's 10 years or older. Current meters are 10 years or older.
So that poses one question: what is the shelf life of a meter?
Okay, I'm going to go to the first question first. From what I saw, I can see from the supplier of our meters that we've purchased 700 meters over the last 10 years. So I'm looking, to get back to your question, Tom, I'm looking about half of our meters are over 10 years old. That's just sort of a guesstimate for me, but I think it might be pretty accurate based on what we've purchased. And then, Cameron, the life expectancy for brass meters can be 20 to 30 years. So the problem with some of this AMR technology is you're really limiting yourself based on battery life to 20-year systems. So I have to take that into consideration when we evaluate the options. But old meters, and Michelle was right, it was the lead content, they had to be replaced. A certain number of them had to be replaced. Those were all replaced, but there were still about half of our meters that are still over 10 years old. So,
but we're in compliance with Warren Creek Project.
Okay. Yeah, so... I'm continuing to evaluate automated meter reading systems that are going to be able to provide us different options. Some meters are connected and the meter and the radio and the register are all one unit. So if one portion of that fails, you have to replace the entire AMR. Other meters, like the company that we currently purchase meters from, you could buy individual meters with separate radios. And so there's advantages to both systems. So I'll put together a table that sort of shows some advantages next month, and provide you some better decision-making tools in regards to how we want to proceed.
Kirk, I have a question. Is there any secondary market for the meters we have that would be less than 10 years old?
No, I'm not aware of any, but there may be. There may be, especially in smaller systems. That's certainly one way to offset the cost. And also, though, at the very least, there used to be a good value placed on used brass. I don't believe that to be the case currently, though.
Any other questions on alternative meter reading, automated meter reading alternative? John?
Just real quick, Kirk, I'll send you an email, but one thing about in regards to meter, this automated meter reading thing is, in your strategic plan, there looks like a lot of dollars being spent in the next 2 years, which I think is good, but I'm not sure when we add them all up if there's enough dollars to go around. So I just concerned, I want to make sure that there's that spending money on automated meter reading wouldn't take money from the sewer infrastructure. Water infrastructure expenses, all that kind of
stuff. John, I took that into consideration when developing the strategic plan, and all of those items that have a timeline for prior to the end of this budget year were budgeted for, including the automated meter reading system. But it wouldn't hurt to look at that closer. I'll look at that more closely to make sure that everything's within our budget.
Email with my concerns.
Okay. I certainly hope that I didn't place any unachievable goals in there.
All right.
It seems to me, and I appreciate you, the concern you're expressing there, Sean. It seems to me, though, that we did address several of these things in the budget, including that pump truck. That's not the right term, but that thing that's going to help clean the sewer lines.
The job router.
And yeah, thank you. And the other thing to remember always with these, I mean, these are major projects, and there is a bid process that will be involved, and I appreciate this first step at starting to walk us through the design aspects and the technical necessities and what's available and what we have compared to what we have now. And so I see this as the very first step in, of many. Steps in the process, and obviously the budget and the amount of money that will be spent on it is going to be a major consideration. So I appreciate the approach you're taking to this.
Thank you, Ann. And I'll guarantee you what you just said is something that I recognize is going to be a challenge. These are items that are going to have to be bid, and that's a process that typically takes time. So I try not to be too aggressive on some of these goal completion dates.
John?
Just one other quick thought. Do you anticipate having to go to the public for more revenue for any of this, or is this able to be paid out of just, you know, current funds? And I mean, you know, if we're talking about a skid in Horn Creek and automated, you know, system, is that we have enough money to do all that?
Well, skid at Horn Creek won't happen this budget year unless something changes that would require us to expedite that process. So that's something that we're going to have to consider in next year's budget. But everything else that was included in that will certainly, it was tied to a budget. Was already tied to a budget, or we anticipate a budget. I don't anticipate most of these things in the short term to require any additional rate increase. With that said, when we start evaluating the condition of our sewer or our water system, if we ever identify the need to replace a lot of large infrastructure, that's when we'll have to look at funding more closely. At this point, I don't anticipate major improvements to be needed, but you never know what you're going to find. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. How much money do we have in our system development charges that's to go for infrastructure work to replace pipes and things?
Michelle, you know the reserve amount for that off the top of your head? You're on mute.
Michelle, your mic is muted.
Sorry, thank you. It's a few million. I don't have the exact number in front of me. I don't have the balance sheet in front of me. But I can get back to you tomorrow, Cameron.
No, that's all right. I mean, a few million, you know, boy, once you start digging a hole.
No. What Kirk said was totally accurate. We wouldn't have budgeted anything that we didn't have plenty of cash for. None of the things that we budgeted were loan items. We have cash.
Okay. So there's funds available to do projects.
Yes, absolutely.
And fixing our old things.
But I want to remind you, we've got a master plan coming up. So we've already budgeted for the master plan. So all of the things that we budgeted for this year, that we have a listing of when we did the budget, that could go all go out the window the minute we see the new master plan. There may be things that they see that we haven't counted on or that are more critical. So if we're supposed to have the master plan by January?
For water, we should. anticipate, ultimately, we want to, in the strategic plan, I established goals that would prepare us for replacing approximately 1% of our system a year, anticipating this to last 100 years. That's something that I think we currently are doing, and we're going to have money to do that kind of infrastructure replacement without a problem. It's going to be because if we ever get to a point where it starts failing faster than we anticipate, that's when we may have to look at other financial options. But I think we're a long ways from that, and the infrastructure for its age seems to be quite healthy.
Great, thank you. Item three under new business, the discharge permit. Kirk?
Yeah, the district, I just wanted to point out to the board that the district or the authority just recently obtained its discharge permit. It was renewed and it became effective on August 1st. Didn't really change any of our discharge limits. Our biosolids monitoring plan was included in the permit. It is quite descriptive, but everything in there is reasonable and achievable. And we're very excited about having a new permit that has been undergone process, and it won't require renewal again for another 5 years.
Yay!
All right, item four under new business is our upcoming workshop on August 18th or 25th. We've got both dates held. At this point, it looks like it's going to be the 18th, but we'll know for sure next week. And I really appreciate all of your help in getting that scheduled and on our calendar.
Yeah, boy, that the 18th would suit me better.
Carolyn, we're going to try for that. Yes.
When we originally chatted about the 18th or the 25th, both dates looked good for me. However, the 18th is now, I now have a conflict. I have a fringe coming up from Southern Oregon. And that might be a problem on the 18th. I don't know absolutely for sure today, but I have a feeling it might be. So I just thought I'd mention that to you this evening.
All right. Thank you, Tom. All right. Item 8. Kirk, did you receive any guest questions or comments? Michelle?
Sorry, I'm just checked and nothing on my end.
I have a comment as a guest staff member, if that's allowed.
It is.
Okay, we just found out today that Rochelle was accepted to Eastern Oregon College to go to school and get her bachelor's.
Traffic, my concern is the lift station there at the bridge and Kiwanda Drive with everybody parking. What are your thoughts on that, Kirk? Is there any way to maybe get some cement pillars in there maybe to protect that thing?
We've ordered some bollards to install there, something that looks better than the cones that we currently have. And they'll be removable so they can be made seasonal if possible, but we intend to correct that soon.
Now, would that stop an accident or anything, somebody driving into that thing?
It would sure help. At the speeds at that intersection, it should help protect us from that. With that said, our pumps, I have to visualize it, but our pumps are below grade, would probably just mess up our controls or something. But primarily, we need to make sure that we ensure access to that lift station if we do have to respond to an emergency.
Okay. Yeah, and one other thing, somebody had asked me about why the grass and stuff has not been cut up at our reservoirs, our tanks and stuff, in the trees. Is there a problem?
We did recently do that.
In the tree?
And I apologize, I should have included it in my manager's report. And although it may have just happened a week ago, although I think that's still July. But no, we've addressed quite a bit of that this month.
In the tree center, the tank, the trees that were growing on the property, on the, did they get taken out? Yeah, that and the other one, the cement.
Okay.
I mean, was that the roots?
I'll look into that. Yeah, okay. Kevin, I'll look into that more. No, I think the bulk of our work was at the 600K tank. It was quite a jungle out there, I understand.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Cameron. Sean, and then Ann.
Yeah, I would just like to say that, and I'm going to talk in broad terms here, not necessarily just AWSA, but as I'm observing the way government operates, government is taking advantage of the fact that the public isn't present. And I feel like in a lot of ways, government is moving forward on things faster than they would were the public able to be present at meetings and asking questions. So I would like to see, if at all possible, before the end of the year, us having a public board meeting or some sort of a public workshop or something where the public can come and interact with us and ask questions, and maybe there's a way to tie it into some of the things in the strategic plan. But I'm increasingly worried that the Zoom meetings or the BlueJean meetings and all of this stuff where the public isn't particularly present. If this goes on for as long as I think it might, I'm increasingly worried about that. So I just wanted to get that on the record and say that I'm starting to have concerns. And I don't have any concerns with the PCJWSA, but I don't want to just fall back on that. And I think it's important to get in front of the public and before the end of the year, have some sort of a public meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean. Ann and then Tom. Ann, your mic's off.
No. I was trying to get the cursor up there. So I had a concern kind of similar to Cameron's, but in a different location, with all of the changing of parking patterns around town. And Tom can relate to this as well or better than any of us. The reservoir that's on Cape Kiwanda Drive, there is so much parking on the shoulder there. And when I went by the other day, there was a family unloading their Jeep and right in front of the gate. It wasn't clear to me, and I was in traffic, so I couldn't stop and watch. Whether they were intending to leave their vehicle in front of that gate or not. But I went back today and looked at the signage that's on there, and I thought, Kirk, it might be something that you and the staff would want to take a look at. There is a sign on there about it being a federal penalty because it's an infrastructure facility. It's a federal penalty to trespass or something. And that sign is very, very faded. You really can't read it unless you're right up close to it. there are other signs on there, but I didn't see the language on any of those signs that says required access to public facility, no parking, tow away zone, whatever the language, appropriate language is. It seemed to me that this could be stronger, because we certainly don't want to get into a situation where we have to physically remove somebody's vehicle in case that reservoir goes bad somehow and we have to have access to it. So it's a small thing, but I thought maybe it was something you could put on your list to see what you think.
I appreciate that. I will look into it and let you know what I come up with.
Okay. I don't think the one up on PC Heights would have the same issues, because there's really not a lot of parking problem up there. But if we're doing one, we might look for some consistency in how we label all of them.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Tom?
In reference to Sean's comments, a public meeting, I can see how the public in general might be think that we might be trying to pull something. And so I understand your feelings. If we're thinking about, however, doing a public meeting, our meeting place, meeting room at the authority, obviously not adequate for what we could do for a public meeting. I would suggest the community center and advertise it well enough in advance that we can only have, considering 6-foot distances and that sort of thing, and masks and all those other normal things, that we would limit how many people could attend, but invite up to size board members, you know, like, I think that room there is good for 150 people, but we could say a third of those, like 50 people. We rarely get more than, in my experience, 10 or 12 or even 15. But if we said something like that, 50 people could come and we could make accommodations at that kind of a facility, it would eliminate a lot of possible misunderstandings and look like we're being proactive
They've got a protocol already on set for 6 feet of people in a meeting in there, and you'd have to check with, if it's the Great Hall, I'm sure it's less than what you think, but you might want to check with them prior to that. It's not going to be 50 people.
Well, that's the only venue around here that come to mind that we could even accommodate a public meeting in the current circumstances.
I think it would have to be at the community center, and I'm guessing it would be more in the range of 25 people. But yeah, there's no question that it would have to be there. They have 6-foot spacing and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I still think it's important to do. And obviously,
I agree.
I think, Sean, your point is very well taken, and that maybe we can, over the next month or so, you know, strategize and think about what options are available to us and how to engage the public, maybe get them a little more active in our process and keep them updated. I know that Kurt's been working with the PC Sun more often to make sure that updates are out there, and we might be able to do a little more than that to figure out some ways to engage the public very creatively as we move through this COVID process. All right, thank you all for your comments. It is 6:25, and I will adjourn the meeting.